time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Well, American cities are in conflict, friends. The Chicago violence, the Portland blockade, shootings, murder, poverty, drugs, the decline of America's cities. What are the questions we should be asking, and what are the solutions? Top stories of the week, the midterm elections heat up. Cyber attacks on elections is a concern. The Mueller and Trump interview. Rudy Giuliani comes out and says it's going to blow. We'll find out what that means. Representative Chris Collins, disgraced, and says he's not going to stay in the race. As he is up on big corruption charges, a lot happening there. And then you see this extremist Muslim compound in New Mexico where they're training children. This is quite the story. We'll touch on that as well. Freedom of speech and a free press in the 21st century. You see what's happened this week with InfoWars Alex Jones on all the various media points. And, of course, you can't forget the NFL preseason has started, and so has the ruckus. The president speaks out on Twitter, and the kneeling has started. We'll see where that goes, friends, here. Let's get to the top of the show here and welcome unpleased Lieutenant Randy Sutton is here. He's a 34-year law enforcement veteran, retired from the Las Vegas Police Department. Now, Randy is a founder, in fact, of a new organization called The Wounded Blue. It's a new organization to provide training and care and peer support to injured and disabled officers and their families to assist law enforcement officers around the nation. Again, check that out, woundedblue.org. He's got a new book out, The Power of Legacy. He is also the host of Blue Lives Radio right here, friends, on America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Also joining us is Dr. Carol Swain. Let me tell you a little bit about Carol here so you know. Now, I love this setup here. She went from high school dropout and teenage mother to a highly accomplished university professor and public intellectual. She's an award-winning political scientist, a former professor of political science, and professor of law at Vanderbilt University. Dr. Swain is the author of 8 books. And let me just, I got to bring 2 of these out to tell you about them because they'll tell you a lot about Dr. Swain. So one is entitled Abduction, How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds. And the other, I want to point out, Be the People, A Call to Reclaim America's Faith and Promise. Dr. Swain's education and experiences make her a credible and powerful force for change in today's social and political climate where conservatives are often intimidated to champion an often unpopular message. Well, let's get into it here. 74 people shot, 12 fatally in Chicago this past weekend. Now people are marching and calling for the resignation of Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Then again, over in Portland, Oregon, protesters are continuing their blockade of ICE headquarters there in the encampment, blocking streets and municipal railways. And again, and then you've got this rash of police murders and ambushes going on. What is going on in American cities here? All right, Chicago, many people refer to as the murder capital of the country, and it seems nothing is being done. Now, let me give you a stat here, friends. In 2017, what we had happen here is 650 dead and 3,561 shootings in Chicago. It was a record year. So far this year, through July, 340 have been murdered and 1,785 shootings on a year-to-date basis. The numbers are staggering. So the murder rates, again, in what's happening, these gangs, what I'm wondering is, are these racially motivated? Are they gangs? Are they drug lords? Are they just people that don't like each other? Lieutenant Sutton, what's going on from your perspective of Chicago itself? Let's start there. What's really behind all the crime there?
Well, Chicago is a city out of control. Last weekend we had 70 shootings, I think 14 murders, and not one arrest. There's a lot of issues here. Probably the fact that the Rahm Emanuel's leadership is part of the problem and not the solution. He actually came out publicly, I mean, and basically said, would you gang members please start getting along? I mean, it was one of the most bizarre things I've ever heard. Instead of allowing the police to police, he has absolutely ripped out the proactive policing component, which is where you solve crimes, out of the Chicago Police Department, and has replaced it with consent decrees and literally bureaucratic red tape that literally keeps the police from being police.
You know, I hadn't heard that statement, Randy, but for him to ask the gangs if they would start getting along, that just tells you a whole lot right there. That explains an awful lot. Now, one of the points is that he's, from what I understand, the mayor's office, they say they've added 100 new beat cops to the police force this year. Now, of course, they lost a lot of people over the last couple of years. A lot of cops are in the city having troubles putting them in. I mean, this, as you say, every weekend, Randy, it's out of control. I mean, some people are suggesting it's time to put the National Guard in there on every corner. Is that something to consider? Or,
well, I would say not. I would say that, let me tell you, I mean, you can just look back in history and see how New York City in the 70s and early 80s was a cesspool of violence. Was the murder capital of the country. It took the leadership of Rudy Giuliani, Bernie Kerik, and some of the other leaders to finally say, you know, enough's enough. And then they developed programs and a philosophy that literally curtailed crime. Now it's one of the safest cities in the country, except under de Blasio, it's slid back a little bit because of his liberal policies. But it can be done. It's just there's no resolve for it to be done. And then you look at the underlying cause. Okay, keep in mind, all of the murders, I mean, 98% of them are black-on-black crime. These are young black men killing young black men and anybody else who gets caught in the crossfire. Why is that? Because the Democratic leadership of Chicago has for generations kept blacks enslaved by a welfare state mentality, and you have a complete breakdown of the family unit, and where are kids getting their values from? They're not getting it from their parents. They're getting it on the street, and where's that street? It's the gang. Right. It's gang violence, and so until there's really an effort to change the way children are educated and are brought up, mm-hmm. you're going to continue to see this horrible violence.
Right, right. Well, listen, that is a perfect segue to Dr. Carol Swain here, without a doubt here. And what you say about the way the kids are brought up, there's nothing, that is pure truth right there, because, again, a lot of it is the upbringing of these little children. You got to remember, that's where we learn our lessons in life, friends, as small young people and adolescents, of course. Dr. Swain, let's talk about cause and reaction, what's really happening. Again, you got to understand the core of the problem to be able to fix the problem. Lieutenant Sutton says, well, there's really not the resolve to fix the problem. That's obviously a big problem in itself. But let's get back to the root cause of these problems. Where would you say they lie?
I would say the root cause lies with the lack of respect for the sanctity of human life. And with the Black Lives Matter movement, it's all about black lives, yet at the same time, if you look at the community leaders, if you look at the abortion rate in the black community and the fact that black people kill black people at such an astronomical rate, then everything shows that in the black community, there is a lack of respect for the sanctity of human life. And the focus is misplaced when it's purely on police shootings and police brutality. I think that the discussion would better serve the nation and better serve the community if it was divided between the focus on the internal crime as well as the policing issue.
You know, Dr. Swin, I want to follow up and ask you something, honestly. When you speak, you always speak very candidly. It's one of the things I so appreciate about you. And when you speak about the black-on-black crime and the rate of abortions and things that are going on that are the plight of black Americans, as a very successful, outgoing, and successful black woman yourself, do you get a lot of fallback on that? Do you get a lot of criticism in the community, or do you find that black America is accepting the things? Because you're obviously a leader on, from all ethnicities, you're a clear leader in the nation here. But how does it relate to black Americans themselves? Is there a relation there, or are you being pushed away, I guess, from the community is what I'm asking?
Well, first of all, I get more problems and grief from white progressives than I do from black people in black communities. This past spring, I ran for mayor of Nashville in a special election. I made it my business to be in black communities talking about the problems that were affecting them. I was well received, and I was making such inroads that the white progressives, you know, found it necessary to put out every statement that I had said critical about the Black Caucus or Black Lives Matters or the black crime rate, anything that they thought, you know, would inflame the black community. They pulled all those together in a meme, the best of Carol Swain. I still got a percentage of the black vote, and I think I could have gotten more. Black people know the problems. I think white progressives, they're the ones that are behind the lawlessness. I don't think they value black lives. And they're making a serious mistake, because the new research shows that there's an uptick in interracial murders. More whites killing people outside their group, more blacks killing people outside theirs. And so it's not just black on black or white on white, in the sense that violent crime used to be something that you know, people were more likely to kill someone they knew of the same race. That may be changing. And to the extent it changes, you know, then all of us have a stake in what's happening in our communities when it comes to violent crime.
Yeah, that is well said. And, you know, I'm finding, and I think a lot of people would agree with this, that a lot of strong black conservative patriots are being, as you say, you hit the nail right there, Dr. Swain. They're being condemned by white progressives, basically because they're a threat. They're a threat to their voting establishment. They're a threat to what they consider their rule or their vision of society. And so that's why there's this backlash, which is why I asked you the question to begin with. I was very curious, and your answer was perfect in that regard. I want to talk to you a moment both about Portland, what's happening in Portland. Lieutenant Sutton, you see what's happening now with this encampment there and around the municipality and the buildings there, and of course, the officials are not cracking down, the police force and the mayor and what have you. It's become very violent at times, and this has to do with ICE. It has to do with they want to abolish ICE, and they've kind of taken up some grounds there to protest. Has gotten pretty ugly at times, and it's still going on at this point. It's been since June, I believe. What's your take on this, and what's the outcome?
Ted Wheeler, the mayor of there, is a maniac. This guy is power hungry. He's made himself the police commissioner as well as the mayor. He's basically controlling law enforcement, or the lack of law enforcement. I actually have spoken to the head of the police union in Portland and Seattle, which is equally troubled right now as far as policing goes. And it's lawlessness. He's actually, I mean, this is unbelievable that ICE officers who are legitimate federal law enforcement officers have asked for help in arrest situations even when they are being attacked, and the Portland Police Bureau has failed to respond on the mayor's orders. You know, this is when I say unbelievable, Malcolm, I mean truly, it is unbelievable. I've never heard of this happening any time in this country, where one law enforcement officer will not assist another law enforcement officer. This is the breakdown of our civilization.
Yeah.
And it's coming from within.
Take a look at a lot of our large cities. As you just mentioned, Seattle, Lieutenant Sutton, you know, so you got Seattle, you got Portland. As you just say, Chicago, we've been talking about New York, San Francisco. Look at the homelessness in San Francisco. Los Angeles, the troubles that are happening throughout California. Washington, D.C., the problems there and the gangs there. And then you got the MS-13 gangs. You mentioned, Dr. Swain, a moment ago, Black Lives Matter. By the way, it's 5 years since the advent of Black Lives Matter right now this week. It's 5 years. A lot of people are questioning what that has done for society. So as we look across the nation now, we look at the problems. Give me your take, Dr. Swain, on what you see, how we got here, and how do we fix this?
Well, first of all, you know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, and we don't even have to go far back. We can go back to the 1960s to understand what is taking place today. We have the radicalism that comes from Marxism, cultural Marxists, and they are at the root of everything that's taking place in our colleges and universities, in the churches that have moved toward social justice, in the police departments that have been infiltrated by people from the political left who would like nothing better than to overthrow our country. And they have deep roots into the Black community. And so Black Lives Matter is a Marxist movement, and so are many of the other movements, Antifa. And they've laid out their strategy in many books and articles. And so if you really want to understand what's taking place in America, you have to go back to Karl Marx and his disciples who developed critical race theory, critical theory, postmodernism. All of that explains what's taking place, and they would like nothing better than to overthrow this nation.
All right, Lieutenant Sutton, you hear Dr. Swain come out. I mean, she doesn't hold back, does she now?
No, she's absolutely right,
yeah.
And the people who created Black Lives Matter are unapologetic Marxists. That's their platform. They're not shy about saying it. You're absolutely right, Doctor.
You take a look at a lot of these same politicians, like Rahm Emanuel right now. Now, there's no term limits in Chicago. They're trying to put a referendum on there now to curb that and put a two-term limit in Chicago. But, you know, he's a two-term mayor that is corrupt as could be, and he's running again in November. And yet what I really have a hard time understanding, and I don't know if you or Carol have an answer to this, and maybe, but why is it don't people see this in these communities, and why are they falling into this trap? I mean, I'm talking about Black America, White America, Hispanic America. I'm talking about everybody. Why do they keep falling into this trap and hire the same people to do the job?
I can explain it. In Nashville, what I found was corruption, I would say, very similar to the corruption in Chicago and other cities, that anywhere you have had Democrats in power for many generations, there are kickbacks, there are payoffs, there are all kinds of things that are being given to the people that are in leadership to buy their silence, and with the Black community to buy their votes. And so very often the leaders and the pastors are being paid under the table. So there's deep corruption, and we can't really trust the DAs in that situation if they're part of that political party. So it's really going to take outsiders and change agents to be able to begin the process of cleaning up the corruption. It all stems from the same thing.
They don't want to change. They seem to like it. So what do we do? What's the bottom line?
Well, I mean, not everyone likes it, but
people in power seem to like it.
No, the people in power like it, and there are enough leaders that have been paid off. The corruption includes the churches as well as the leaders of many different organizations. So they benefit from the status quo. Mm-hmm. And so I think there has to be an awakening. Mm-hmm. Or reawakening of the American people.
Right.
And I believe that part of the problem that has taken place is that people are just kind of numb mm-hmm. from the things that are taking place around them, and they're spiritually bankrupt. Mm-hmm. America is a nation that was founded on Judeo-Christian values and principles and traditions. And in the Black community, because they put their trust in government instead of the God that they once knew, their ancestors knew, mm-hmm. I think that that's why their situation doesn't get better. It gets worse and worse. And for the rest of the nation, you know, in the white community, they have the highest mortality rate of any group. People are dying of suicide. All of that comes from hopelessness, that people are not looking towards the spiritual solutions. They're looking towards what they see. They're looking towards the man-made situation. And so there is no hope. And so the only way we get some of this cleared up is that we have something like an old-fashioned spiritual revival that brings forth truth instead of the deception of Marxism and secular humanism.
Dr. Carol Swain, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, I have to tell you both, I was looking forward to this conversation today, and I see why now. Now, friends, you listen, you hear these two patriots, you hear what they say and what they put out on the line. You can't say enough about it. You need to tell folks about that. They need to listen to what you just heard. You just heard some remarkable testimony, and both as analysts with Dr. Carol Swain, Lieutenant Randy Sutton. Check them both out. I will have links on the show page when this goes to the network page later today, friends, for both of them. You can find out more about them in their books and Randy's new organization, by the way, The Wounded Blue. You need to check out. Again, these are people who are doing things out there, and we commend them and we applaud them very much for all their efforts. Friends, up next here, we have a panel discussion on the midterm elections, cyber attacks, Mueller, Trump, that Chris Collins, that little rascal up in New York talking about corruption, huh? Manafort and Gates, more corruption for you. Again, money and greed always seem to be behind these things. And again, that compound in New Mexico. It's all coming up next on Viewpoint.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All right, friends, back with you here on Viewpoint. And boy, that midterm is heating up real quick. It's funny how these races, it seems like it's a long way away, and then all of a sudden, we're in the thick of it. And that's about where we find ourselves now. Let's start this segment and talk about that. I'd like you to welcome onto the show here Ilana Friedman. You know Ilana, she's a strategic counterterrorism intelligence analyst. Ilana trained in Israel. She focuses on the impact of terrorism and its threat to America and the West. She's a columnist right here at America Out Loud. Phil Davis is here. He's retired United States Air Force. He's a political analyst and commentator. And he's a weekly columnist right here at America Out Loud, friends. And the beloved Jim McKay is here. Jim is a political analyst, radio producer at America Out Loud, friends. He has a 30-year background in technology, establishing manufacturing facilities with global partners. And all right, so there's President Trump puts a tweet out here the last day or so here. He says, Democrats, please do not distance yourselves from Nancy Pelosi. She's a wonderful person whose ideas and policies may be bad, but who should definitely be given a fourth chance. She is trying very hard and has every right to take down the Democrat Party if she has veered too far left. Wow.
The applause is deafening.
The applause is deafening. You know, he's just reminding America very gently, give her a fourth chance to head up as speaker. Sure. Are you people crazy? And that they've all gone too far left. So he is, you know, this race has just started. And I would almost say, Jim, I want to start with you and ask you, I want to say to you, That tweet that the president puts out tells me a lot, because it almost is like the sound of the bell of the first round. Like, okay, he's laying markers down now. The president is saying, okay, you want to have this fight? Remember now, Jim, this is a president that was totally unconventional, a president that nobody ever expected to get anywhere, a president that was never supposed to win, a president, I mean, I can just go to YouTube and play back the tapes and you'll see nobody had any confidence in him. He was never supposed to have this thing. And here he is, and he's unconventional. The polls were wrong. He got into office. Now they're still counting on the same polls that were wrong the first time. They think somehow they're going to be right this time, McKay. I don't get it. What's going on?
No, the polls are way off. The polls are being used as a political tool to try to get either people, one party to come out and vote, the other party to stay out. Mm-hmm. I mean, even this week, you know, Trump got out and he said, well, we were 5-for-5 in the election this week. And the Democrats are still saying out, oh, it's the blue wave. It's going to happen. Reality is they've lost 8 of the 9 House of Representative elections this spring and summer. So it ain't happening for the Democrats, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and let's jump a little minute into Ohio, please, because the 12th district in Ohio is still too close to call. Although the president and you know, the candidate have come out and claimed victory, of course, here, not surprisingly. Ilana, what do you think happens with that Ohio race? And obviously, this thing has got, you know what a lot of people may not even realize, Ilana? This thing has got to be done again in just 3 months. I mean, what these guys spent all that money for was just for show, because this race has got to be done again. They got to start campaigning again immediately.
Well, there's an underlying problem here, which is called voter fraud. Mm-hmm. Do you know that in Ohio, 170 voters in the 12th district are listed as being over 116 years old?
Wow.
The world's oldest person, who lives, I think, in India somewhere, is 115. So, you know, we're talking about many of the voters list their birthday as January 1st, 1800. It's just, there is so much wrong with the voting system. And in fact, Ohio came out with a new voter identification law, mm-hmm. and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court, who approved it. But they have not implemented it yet, obviously. Hmm. And the Democrats are opposing it vehemently. This tells us that the Democrats have been very active.
Yeah. Isn't it ironic, Ilana, really, when you think about it? Here we are. I just think a moment here. Here we are worried about, and we spend all this time worried about hacking and cyber attacks. And, of course, oh, the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. You know, I mean, that's the new Paul Revere today, obviously, right? And it's not the British. It's the Russians, right? And so, you know, with all of that said, I know. And then you say all these people are born in 1800, 116 plus years old, and, you know, just the basic fraud. And then they don't want to crack down and be able to show basic identification to vote. And there's something wrong with the whole system. Phil, let me bring you in on this conversation. So we look at a lot of the election irregularities. We're talking about cyber attacks. We're talking about missing ballots. People that are, you know, like Ilana would say, would have to be 200 years old now to vote and are still seem to be voting. And, you know, this has got to erode confidence within the American people. But what do you, I mean, what's the answer to curbing this? I mean, it seems to be becoming more and more of a problem, Phil. What do you think the answer is to this election fraud?
I don't think there's any exact answer. It's been going on for decades and decades and decades. And when it comes to the Democrats, that are their old saying, the ends justify the means. And when you find your votes inside of a trunk, or you pay somebody $5 to vote a certain way, the Democrats don't care. I mean, lie, cheat, steal, as far as I know, even kill to get their way. So in my opinion, I mean, the American people are facing probably the most highly organized crime syndicate in U.S. history, called the Democrat Party. And until enough American people wake up and walk away, is the term I've heard, that, you know, we're just not going to get out of it. I mean, you can cover electronic portion, but you're not going to cover, like, oh, gee, I just, wait a minute, there's 200 votes here. We forgot to turn in at the polling station. Oh, goodness gracious, let's turn that in. Oh, it just happens to be for Democrats. Well, it happened to, you know, there's a guy up in Minnesota who was running for senator against Franken at that time, and he said, well, they found votes, and the guy lost. So it's not going to end. It just won't. It's going to take honesty. And that's a hard row to hoe, especially when you're talking about over 300 million people.
Yeah, that's in short supply these days, my friend. And I want to turn the page just a little bit. I want to come back to some of that corruption you're talking about, Phil, in just a moment. But let me tell you this other tweet that the president put out when we talk about it. I want to transition, talk to you a little bit about Manafort and Mueller and the Trump campaign, what's going on there, but and some of this corruption that we're talking about here. President Trump puts another tweet out. Listen to this, friends. Will the FBI ever recover its once stellar reputation, so badly damaged by Comey, McCabe, Peter S., and his lover, the lovely Lisa Page, and other top officials now dismissed or fired? So many of the great men and women of the FBI have been hurt by these clowns and losers. You know, Ilana, I want to circle back with you first before we go to Jim, and I want to ask you something here. I mean, you hear these tweets that the president puts out, and we've never seen a president talk so direct, I mean, and so, you know, honest and open in his feelings to the American people. And this is obviously what the president uses Twitter for, clearly, when you see tweets like this here. Now, as you take a look at that tweet, and now you take a look at the Mueller and Trump interview that is going back and forth now, the last word is the White House has responded to Mueller to say that this is the conditions that we will have the president sit down with you for this witch hunt. And, of course, Mueller has not responded yet that we know of to that. But they've gone back and forth. So, obviously, many people are wondering, Ilan, is this a conversation or is this an ambush? Well, the president's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, he comes out and says, in his big message, got everybody's attention just a couple of days ago, it's going to blow, he says. What do you think Giuliani meant by that? And what happens should the president sit down with this interview?
Well, I think he means that Mueller is going to destroy himself, that he has gone way too far in his supposed investigation, that it's so biased and it's so inflammatory and it's so targeted at the president to bring him down, that I'm pretty sure that's what Giuliani meant, that he's going to literally self-destruct. As far as the tweets are concerned, I think, you know, the Democrats like to think of and to portray the president as a buffoon. You know, the world doesn't really know very much about is that this is one of the most well-read presidents we have ever had. In terms of current events, in terms of his keeping up to date with what's going on.
What I'm wondering right now directly, Jim, make a forecast for me. Does it go away at that point, or does Mueller push it all the way to the Supreme Court?
I don't think they'll go for the subpoenas. Hopefully, you know, they're going to put an end to this thing. It's not happening before the midterms. The timing is too short. They've been at this, what, 18 months, and they've diddled around. And
so what happens? Does he just go, I mean, what happens then to this interview? No, does it ever happen? Or
He's going to try to push it out to it influences the 2020 elections. You know, you have Democrats already talking about how long it took to do the Watergate investigations.
You think Mueller could get that far, though? You think people would have patience with that, Jim? I don't know.
Well, no, but he's raking in the millions. He's stuffing his pockets with money and all of his buddies. I mean, the longer they're there, the more money they make, these guys. I mean, it's...
And, of course, he's hired basically the Democrat machine there, which is really insane how that's worked out, you know? Huh?
No, nobody in Congress has the stomach or the willpower to put their foot down, and it's definitely not going to happen unless Trump replaces Sessions and fires Rosenstein at the same time. I mean, that investigation will just continue they run out of money in Congress.
Yeah. Well, let me do this. Phil, before I talk to you about Representative Chris Collins, Phil, and what happened this past week here, I want to just ask you a straight-out question. Do you think the president should sit down with Mueller for an interview? Yes or no?
Absolutely not, and he should let the investigation continue. The longer it continues, the worse it looks for the Democrats.
Chris Collins, the Republican representative out of New York, by the way. So he is up on major charges, side of trading with him and his family and the corruption there. And now his first remark was that he was going to stay in the race to run again to retain his seat. He just came out yesterday and said he is not going to do that, like surprise, surprise people, right? I mean, he's got a fight of his life on. He's probably looking at an enormous amount of prison time here ahead. you take a look at Chris Collins here, what's happened here, and you see how all these cats get rich and loaded up in Washington, D.C., Republicans and Democrats alike. Now you take a look at the Manafort trial, and you look at Gates. And I want to say this, when you look at Manafort and Gates, and the fact that, you know, the president has prided himself, Donald Trump, the businessman, has prided himself on his surrounding himself with fantastic people. He has prided himself on finding winners. Why? And Chris Collins supported the president big time, and the president supported Chris Collins. But the president hired Manafort and Gates, and they were part of his campaign. All of this is looking badly to me on the Republican establishment as well. And I think the Dems will play that out. I think corruption is a two-way street, Phil. What do you say about all this? And shouldn't the president have checked out Manafort and Gates before putting them on the campaign and associate themselves with people like Chris Collins, who has obviously got his hands caught into this thing? You see where I'm going with this?
Oh, I see where you are with this. Both parties are bad. I mean, you know, I just piled on the Democrats. Republicans are bad. You know, a lot of them are bad too. But as far as Manafort goes, when they put him on a campaign, and you know, the little piece came out where, you know, he was doing some fundraising for, I can't remember who it was, some Middle Eastern entity or what have you. Mm-hmm. And from what I heard, that the money was supposed to help people, but yeah, it was helping people, but it was being funneled to, you know, a terrorist organization. So, you know, I was shocked. So it bodes well that, you know, he's supposed to be very intelligent in what he's doing. And if that's true, then how come all these things are happening? You know, I mean, why is he making these mistakes?
Listen, there was another big happening here on American soil, friends, this week here. I'm sure you've heard of this, in New Mexico. New Mexico here. That's right, one of the United States. So some kids were training to commit school shootings, and it's an extremist Muslim compound. Now, Ilana, this encampment turned into a training camp, and you've seen all the visuals and the pictures and the videos on television, I am certain. And talk to me about, I mean, my guess is, I would imagine, Ilana, this is not the only one. And I know you talk about this. This is your you know, area of expertise. What do you make of this training camp? And is this a wake-up call for America?
Well, one of the things that it's been sort of overlooked is that the guy who was arrested is the son of a notorious Brooklyn imam named Siraj Wahaj.
Yeah.
And he has been associated with a great deal of the extremism. He denies it vehemently when he talks publicly, but he is deeply active and embedded in the Islamic rejectionist movement in terms of accepting America. He does not. He is a pro-Sharia Muslim. And so this is his son, and his son, it started, I guess, when his grandson went missing, a three-year-old child. And so the authorities came in and they started looking for the child, and they found this compound where there were 11 children, and they were being trained to go in and to shoot up schools and to do all kinds of violent crime against Americans. And the children were ages 1 through 15. Well, clearly a one-year-old, you can't train him to do anything. But a 15-year-old can be a pretty dangerous weapon with the wrong training. So, you know, we're talking about really toxic people.
Ilana, how many of these are there in the United States?
Well, it's hard to know. There is a group called Muslims of America that have multiple compounds. The most famous one is in there's one in Murfreesville, Tennessee, but the most famous one is in a place called Islamburg, New York, which is in the Catskill Mountains.
They know what one of the biggest weak points right now is, the American school system. And so now they're training them to go into the school systems and shoot up. And this is going to be the next, flash point, if you will, in this nation. What I question to all of you is this. What is it going to take? It's one of the things that bother me is that we always wait for the problem to be in front of us and for a lot of casualties, like a 9/11 kind of thing, before we stand up and say, you know what, there's so many things we are not taking control of, people. This is one of them right here, these encampments, these extremists that are doing these kinds of things, school shootings, cyber problems, our electrical grid. There are a lot of things that I think everybody has got to be really concerned with and on high alert. And again, I want to implore everybody to get after your politicians, to get after and shake them, people. Shake Washington up and get them to react and do something about these problems. Because I'm telling you right now, our quality of life hangs in the balance here. I don't look forward to the day that we can't get on the internet because we have no damn electric. You know, I don't look forward to that day. I don't look forward to the day when a city is taken out because of some chemical explosion or some other massive school problem happened and where hundreds were killed this time. I don't look forward to that day, friends, but it's coming, sadly. Well, listen, big, big thank you here to Ilana Friedman, Phil Davis, Jim McKay. Friends, as Viewpoint rolls on here, we have got a big discussion coming up next. Freedom of speech and a free press in the 21st century. Alex Jones, Apple, Facebook, YouTube, and Spotify have all removed his content. InfoWars, as you know here. We've got that whole conversation in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's americaoutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, you see this development with Alex Jones this past week, friends, where, boy, he got thrown off a whole lot of channels. Apple, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify. They all removed contents by Alex Jones' InfoWars. I don't know if you catch that program or not, but now Apple's the one that started that movement, and then they all sort of fell like dominoes. You know how that goes. Now, one interesting point right now, just to mention to you all up front here, since Alex Jones is off of Spotify now, by the way, America Out Loud just got on Spotify last week, by the way. So there you go. Perfect. Ava Wright.
Exactly.
One off, one on. So yeah, we just added that to our lineup of networks there. You'll catch our show on Spotify now as well, by the way. Let's get to our discussion here, and welcome to the show here, please. Ava Armstrong is here. She's a political commentator and radio personality here at America Out Loud. Ava is an author who writes about the everyday men and women, our military, our law enforcement, a focus on patriotism, 15 books. She's an avid author. And also joining us, Del Wilbur. Del is across the pond in the Middle East right now. He's a former CIA and Department of Defense Intelligence and Counterterrorism officer with a focus on technical and human intelligence collection activities. Brian Gold rounds out our panel here. Brian served in the United States Army and U.S. Special Forces for over two decades. He now works for the Department of Defense and is the CEO of Applied Solutions Consulting. Thank you all for being here for this. So you see what happened to Alex Jones. Now, his book, in full disclosure to all of you, I have never listened to one of his programs, InfoWars, truly. So I've never heard it. So I really, truly don't know. Have any of you listened to that program? Ava, have you heard it?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And Del, Brian, have either of you listened to that program?
I've listened to his program, and I've read his website as well.
Okay, and how about you, Del? Have you?
I've not listened to it.
All right,
before.
So you and I would be in the latter part of that conversation. So let me ask you, let me go to Brian and Ava then on this, because I've never heard him, so I can't really say I'm familiar with him. But he's kind of known as a conspiracy sort of guy. One of the big arguments, Ava, I'm hearing quite a bit about Alex, is he has this whole thing put out there about Sandy Hook, the horrible, horrible shooting up in Connecticut there, that it never happened. He has this whole spat. That's all over media here. So this guy is known as kind of a conspiracy provocateur, I guess you'd call him, huh?
I was never a huge fan of Jones, but I need to ask this question. Mm-hmm. If, in fact, he was being you know, removed from social media because he has conspiracy theories, then why shouldn't we remove MSNBC and CNN and ABC and NBC and on and on?
Well, I certainly will vote for that. How about you, Brian? Do you vote for that, too?
I would support that 100%. And I think it comes down to what Ava's heading to, is that, you know, what's the marker, or what's the kind of the line for when we say, okay, that's too wacky to hear? I mean, we've had people say we didn't land on the moon. We have the anti-Holocaust people who say the Holocaust didn't happen. I mean, you know, people are smart to figure that stuff out. It's not real. I don't know that removing content because you don't like it or don't agree with it is the right way to start going down the road, but we sure are down that road pretty far already.
Well, Brian, what you're saying basically is, isn't Alex Jones entertainment?
Without a doubt. I read him purely for entertainment reasons, kind of the same way I read the Huffington Post. There's not a lot of truth or fact to it, but it sure is kind of entertaining to see which way people are going.
Well, that's a fair statement, what you just said there. But there is something called freedom of expression, free speech, and as I always say, Dell, freedom to be an idiot. But that doesn't mean we should throw them off of these networks, but yet these are private businesses. They kind of do have a right to, I guess, if you look at it that way. Is it time to put some regulation into social media? I mean, I know we don't like a lot of regulation here, but Dell, what do you think? Is it time now to tighten the screws here a little bit?
No, I don't think so. I think that's a mistake because I absolutely despise this term, but I'm going to use it anyway, okay? The slippery slope. I see that potential being abused because, you know, there's always going to be someone who feels that they have the moral high ground over everybody else, mm-hmm. so they can pick and choose and decide what everybody else should hear or read or watch or whatever, and I think that really is a concern to me. So no, I obviously there are some things like child pornography and things of that nature.
Right.
I mean, you know, obviously those are,
well, that's breaking the law there. That's breaking the law. I mean, that's like you say, that shouldn't happen. But Dale, based on what you're saying there, then, but then if there is no regulation, now let me stay on that a moment here. But then, what happens when Apple, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, Google, when they throw people like they don't like Alex Jones, they don't like me tomorrow, they don't like you, they don't like the, and they disband us from all these sites? Is that fair? And what should happen, Dell?
Well, I think the marketplace will dictate what happens if there are. I mean, those are businesses, and they're subject to to people tuning them out or changing their purchase or whatever. I mean, if that's what it comes down to is in essence, we control, what they do by virtue of the fact that we can, change the channel, so to speak.
Ava, more and more and more, you can see the validity of the independence of what we do here at America Out Loud. And I know you get what that means. We can understand the gravity of the situation here. But back to regulation or no regulation, what Dell is saying, I appreciate his free market approach to this. Do you totally agree, or do you have a difference of opinion? I mean, because right now, market share, if you don't have Apple, if you don't have Facebook, if you don't have YouTube, if you don't have Spotify, if you don't have Google, if you don't have search engines, if you don't, I mean, I'm not sure what the marketplace is going to dictate at that point, other than you're screwed, Ava. What do you think?
I'm very concerned that quote unquote hate speech is now, you know, being removed from all these social platforms, which I consider to be the new town square. Everyone should have a voice in this town square, even people who use quote unquote hate speech. Gavin McGinnis is a libertarian, and he has a group called Proud Boys, and he's a right, you know, right wing kind of guy. He's libertarian. He's kind of out there. He's very interesting. He just got banned from a whole host of social media. I want you to understand this is very dangerous, what's happening right now. It's something we should take so seriously, because if they can ban these guys, then they can ban any one of us or all of us. Mm-hmm. So there, mm-hmm. what's happening are these media giant companies, okay, it's combined, it's $7 trillion, mm-hmm. okay, when you put Google and Apple and right. so forth together. This is the new Standard Oil, okay? Mm-hmm. We need antitrust laws. We need you know, to break up this conglomerate.
So you are in favor, then, of antitrust laws or regulation here to stampede this thing, huh?
Oh, very, very much so, okay. Because right. What's happened is we've now gotten to this point where there are seven or eight people controlling everything that's in media right now.
Right. But is it time, as Ava says, to take a look at some sort of regulation, or as she says, she brought back the example of Standard Oil and breaking up the monopolies? What do you think?
Well, I think there's already a form of regulation going on that's unofficial, and that is that, unfortunately, there's the amount of free press in America is almost non-existent. There's no more free agent press. There's no more reporting facts. Our media has become just as polarized as our politics and controlled by the same people. We're headed to media suppression, whether it be unofficial or official. I think we're well beyond the slippery slope. I don't know how we recover it. I like the Standard Oil analogy. I think that's a great example. But I tell you, once we start regulating our social media, I mean, how far are we from Nazi Germany? I mean, I'm not trying to sound like a wacko or a conspiracy guy, but wasn't that exactly how Nazi Germany started out? You know, anti-propaganda speech was banned. You know, anything that went against the party was banned. I mean, we're already there. I mean, if you don't support the liberals, you're banned from the media.
Maybe I didn't express it well, but what I was talking about when you asked about regulation was I was saying that, no, I don't want someone sitting in corporate headquarters at Apple or YouTube deciding whether or not I should have a platform for my point of view.
I see.
Because they don't agree with it. That's what I meant. You know, because
right.
I think that's the problem. You know, you've got people who just simply disagree with you, so they're going to control, you know, what you do. But no, I don't want someone regulating what I can say or what I can't say.
Yeah. The Guardian comes out and they say, no one's civil liberties are violated by a ban on the far-right InfoWars. He wrote, Twitter's decision this week not to kick InfoWars conspiracy theorist Alex Jones from its site is another example of a media platform refusing to take responsibility for the hatred it hosts. Wow. I mean, this is amazing, this comment here. The explanation, he goes on to say this, the lazy explanation that Twitter gave, we strongly believe Twitter should not be the operator of truth, displays a willful misunderstanding of the responsibilities of publishers. So, see, a lot of people are drinking the Kool-Aid. They really believe.
But why aren't they taking Antifa accounts down?
See, they don't.
Why aren't they?
They don't.
Yeah, why? You should see some of the violent content that I see on social media.
So why is that acceptable? See, it's more than a double standard. I mean, it's off the charts, Ava, with what you're saying right there. I mean, there's hate all over the place. I mean, with Antifa and with Black Lives Matter and all these groups and movements and far left and far right nut
jobs. I mean,
the next thing
that will happen is this. I'll predict it. Kanye West will be banned from Twitter because he's now openly supported Trump. And he actually went on Jimmy Kimmel and said, hey, look, I support Trump. That's it.
It is getting very, very interesting what's happening with that. I'm curious to see what goes on with Kanye next because he hasn't shaken his ground yet, but he looks a little nervous when he's talking about it, Ava, you know? Listen, I want to talk to you a moment about the NFL guys in our last story here. So President Trump put a tweet out, as you can imagine that. It says the following. The NFL players are at it again, taking a knee when they should be standing proudly for the national anthem. Numerous players from different teams wanted to show their outrage at something that most of them are unable to define, he says. They make a fortune doing what they love. And then he goes on in the next tweet and says, be happy, be cool. A football game that fans are paying so, with a lot of zeros to it, much money to watch and enjoy is no place to protest. Most of that money goes to the players anyways. Find another way to protest. Stand proudly for your national anthem or be suspended without pay. Wow. So
okay, I need to say something here, and I very, very rarely criticize President Trump.
Okay.
But I wish he would let this go. This needs to be between the NFL and their owners association and the fans. I think Trump being in the middle of it, I mean, he doesn't really need to deal with this right now. So why take it on? You know what? I understand, too, this is a free speech issue for these NFL players.
Right.
And they need to work this out on their own, okay?
Right.
I don't care if they kneel or if they roll around on the ground. I don't care what they do.
Right.
Personally,
right.
I don't care because it's free speech. You want to act like an idiot? Go ahead.
This one particularly bothers me, okay? I don't view it as a free speech issue. I believe it as a workplace issue. You know, my employer expects certain behavior from me in my workplace. And the NFL player's workplace is a football field. And if the employers want to tell them, you will follow these rules, which includes standing up and showing respect when the national anthem is played, or you can pack your crap and find another job. Now, if we had some NFL owners that had the guts to do that, you know, then perhaps this problem would disappear rapidly. But, you know, it's a workplace issue. It's not a free speech. You don't have free speech at the workplace. You're there to perform a service that you're paid for, and these players are paid for handsomely. And if they don't like it, they don't like to follow the rules, then they can hit the road. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be watching rugby this fall. I'm not going to be watching the NFL.
Yeah, I hear you, Dale. I hear
and
you,
Malcolm,
Dale.
I'm going to jump in the middle and disagree with everybody on this. I think this is a larger issue, mm-hmm. and this is two platforms that liberals have been pushing for over 12 years now. And the first platform is rules only apply to me if I like them. The NFL's always had the rule to stand during the anthem. That was never a question. Mm-hmm. The liberals have pushed a platform of it's okay to break the rules to support what I think is right. Mm-hmm. And that's the liberal platform. If you're going against the president or you're going anti-American, it's okay to break the rules. It's okay to have riots. It's okay to have Maxine Waters say it's okay to harass people. Mm-hmm. Those are okay. The conservatives aren't allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. And above all else, the liberals have done everything they can to convince people to be anti-American. And standing and kneeling for the anthem is just that. Mm-hmm. There is no reason to do it. The armed forces and the people who fought and died for this country had no reason to be disrespected by those overpaid babies taking a knee on the field. You know, take it out in the parking lot. Take it back to your hometown. Mm-hmm. Take it back to your college. Leave it off the field in front of the flag. And this has been something they've been ramming down our throat for 12 years now, and it's gone far enough. Mm-hmm. I think everyone should boycott the NFL. Don't turn it on. Don't go to a game. Don't buy a jersey for the next two seasons, no matter what happens. And teach those punks to go back to school.
Mm, wow. In fact, I have to tell you, I seen a commercial the other day with a Major League Baseball, the NBA, suggesting how I remember them, my son was pointing it out to me, that they're standing for the anthem, and they make note to tell people that that's not a problem with the NBA. So back to America's pastime, baseball, huh, friends? So, you know, sadly with the NFL, it is something they've taken on themselves, and they've ruined an entirely good sport, and they've destroyed the masses and divided the country with this conversation. I think you hear the excitement and the voice from Del Wilbur, Brian Gold, and Ava Armstrong, and you understand that everybody would agree it's wrong. It's wrong on every level. And I'm willing to bet, I bet most everybody who's listening to this broadcast would agree that it's wrong. I want to thank you all for listening to Viewpoint this Sunday and making this program the fastest growing news magazine on the planet. We really appreciate you sharing it out there, telling folks about it here. What an incredible show, incredible experts, our columnists, all of the articles, and our host, and all of the things going on back, friends, at AmericaOutloud.com. We invite you in there. It is a home for all Americans and for all people around the world. It is an independent voice. We do not propagate to extremist viewpoints and hate speech or anything of the sorts, friends. Big thank you again here to all of our guests today. And remember, friends, Viewpoint this Sunday will always deliver an honest analysis and opinions on all sides of the political aisle. While we don't discriminate against an opinion, the main thing is we are always in search of the out loud truth.